Scotty Gallen is also pleased about that because he loves Cyril. And he loves the latest in news, and that is a bombshell being dropped by Adam Romanaskis, the manager of Cyril Rioli. Good morning, Scotty.
Hello, Daniel.
Sunglasses again.
So Cyril's playing for Brisbane. That's good.
No.
Oh, no.
He won't be playing in the AFL.
So we believe what the managers tell us.
I believe this one. He's a man of integrity.
Oh. Should we believe what journalists tell us? Jeez.
Yes.
That'd be interesting.
Open the door. We know his hatred.
That would be really interesting.
We know his hatred. It's fairly obvious.
The old make up a story to get in the paper.
Oh,
gee whiz. There's some allegations.
Hey, I can throw mud back.
Can I talk about burying the lead? Our traffic man, who I love and listen to, he buried the lead about the Princess Highway. Couple lanes closed. He threw it in last line at about 6 o'clock.
If you had a stressful drive in.
Oh, man. You should have gone with, it's carnage out there, you know, pull over, don't bother trying. That's the sort of message you should have sent.
Book an Uber helicopter.
Oh, that was a bit emotional. But I'm here on time.
It's great to have
virtually.
You.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to start off with asking Adam what he thought of the two-day national draft.
I'll ask that, Adam.
Which Adam?
Adam White.
Adam White.
I nearly drove off the road before because of that. That was outstanding.
Do you disagree?
No, I've been to a lot of drafts, and yeah, they peter out after about 2 minutes. So they're going to do well to make it. Well, they have Gil, you know, come out with the hats, you know, the full-on NFL and the cuddle with Gil and...
Look,
cheering.
Well, they've started that where Gil now comes up and gives the announcement of who the player is.
But they started getting legends at the club to hand it over.
That's in round two and beyond.
Do you remember the Seinfeld episode where George's mum was really excited because George was...
Not the amusement park.
No.
The Yankees.
George was going out with a woman by the name of, I think it was Donna Chang. And she was really excited about this because she thought she was Chinese. And then there was going to be all these sort of Chinese remedies that she could explore with Donna. And then she was mortified to find out that Donna was not, in fact, Chinese. And she actually said to Donna, you know what? You're not Chinese. And I think this is a bit like this.
Where are we going with this?
It's a bit like this with the AFL. You're not American. You're not the NFL.
Okay.
You're the AFL. Don't try and be the NFL.
Glad we got there in the end. That was good.
Why can't we try something different?
Well, you can try something different, but just don't mimic the Americans.
Just try. What would you suggest?
Not having a draft over 2 days? That's a good start.
What would you suggest? It's going to be on TV. What would you suggest, Whitey?
What would I suggest? I'll get back to you. Not the way it is.
Right. Okay. Okay. So we're not quite sure. But the live trading of drafts...
That's all very interesting.
That will be interesting because that requires a fair element of intelligence.
Yeah. So what that will be... So the live trading of draft picks from the end of trade period up until the draft. So that will be clubs getting as much intel as they possibly can on the draft and where players are potentially going to drop. Now, if a certain club thinks a certain player is going to drop before their pick, how do they move up towards that pick in the draft? So I think that's going to be fascinating. Look, the perfect example at the moment is Adelaide. And with there's four really good players out of Adelaide this year that will all potentially go in the first round of the draft. You know, how can Adelaide and Port Adelaide move up in the draft to have a shot at those guys?
And doing it during the draft will be the sexy bit. Say if Adelaide's first pick is, like you said, 6 and the two South Australians haven't gone the top 3, they do a deal with St Kilda on the night, that'll be quite exciting.
Yeah,
need sirens and all that sort of stuff to go, we've had a trade. Ding, ding, ding. That's what they do.
There's
going
to need to be some sort of flaggage or...
Yeah.
To get referees.
Fire alarm.
It's got to be very interesting because people can make very, very poor decisions when they're emotional.
That's right.
On a particular player.
So what happens if they butcher it?
Well, that's right.
It's Carlton.
Now, the Blues will nail it because Sauce is there. He's been planning for this all year, the Sauce man.
Wow.
He's all over this.
He's on fire.
He's been waiting for this moment to get the trade and draft night.
Look, the top 10 will be interesting, but 2 hours of interesting? I don't know. I don't know, Rama.
Well, maybe if you're sort of roaming the floor interviewing people.
Like mums and dads.
Yeah, that crying mums. That might make it a little bit more interesting.
Managers. It's all about you. You want to get your face on the TV.
Or we could go live with Adam White's tweets through the draft, which I sort of follow quite closely on the weekend.
Of Sri Lanka v Zimbabwe.
Trying to be a service to you, Adam, just to help with your coverage over the weekend.
I read them.
I know.
I don't use them, but I do read them.
There's issues here, Daniel.
I think the short story is that 2 days is excessive.
Yes.
That's what the short story is. But you got to try something. Good luck to you. Good luck to whoever's involved in the coverage and the 2-day draft extravaganza. Sean Higgins.
Yes.
On the back page of your paper, Eliza Small, Mark Robinson telling me that he would like suspensions for people who punch.
Well, you know, his theory was the clampdown sort of was keyed in the right way about 18 months ago, and then it's sort of become fines and the players just keep doing it because they'll cop their $1,500.
Mm.
And look, if anyone, every player's on notice. We saw what happened with Brayshaw. A swinging punch, your opponent can slip, bang, there's 6 to 8 weeks. So I think it will have an effect. There's no doubt. It has to be in the front of mind of the guys when they're wrestling, etc. But if you're getting tagged in the heat of the moment, we see the jump and punches, and I can't see it being outlawed, but if you start giving, can you start doing it now? Can you change your complete focus? And Chris O start, so if blokes have got away with it all year, can you go round 22, 1 week for you? And they'd go, oh, hang on.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, you can't. So it's a next year job.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's an off-season,
you know what I mean? Yeah, it's
reset.
It's right.
All the expectations and ramifications.
Take your video around during the preseason and go, see this? That's now 1 week.
Yeah. But what's one of the interesting parts of this whole debate, really, is what constitutes a reportable offence in that regard? Is a forearm to the back, like it was... Who did that the other week to Brendan Goddard? Did that.
Well, then guys flop, so how do you know they're not flopping? Well,
so this is the question. That there's a seems to be a sentiment that all that niggle, and Greg Williams was talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
Needs to be taken out of the game. It's just unnecessary and garbage. And to a degree, I agree with them.
But the problem they've got is impact.
What constitutes...
Yeah. So a stomach punch, Rammer goes down, but Whitey doesn't, so he gets a week when his punch could have been... Do you know what I mean? So that's the grey area that's... Even if you punch a guy and he stands up and it's a light punch, you're going to get a week. Is that where we're going to have to get to?
And is an open hand the same as a clenched fist?
Open hand to the face, I think you're in trouble. Open hand to the body, probably not.
So there's going to be...
It's a grey area.
It's going to be out, that's what I'm saying.
So your man Chris would be very busy. He'd need 2 days.
This is a question, not a statement. Are we overreacting again to one incident that happens every, or maybe, you know, once a year at most? I mean, we've really only had two of these incidents in the last 5 years. Are we overreacting because it's emotional and it's raw and all that sort of thing?
Yeah. I'm a bit... In that camp.
Yeah, I think that's right. But there was this conversation about trying to eradicate the niggle, the unnecessary rubbish in footy.
Some of that's gamesmanship as well.
But we've been here where the umpires then tighten up on that interpretation and start paying free kicks, and everyone's outraged at how soft that free kick is. And you can't surely be giving a free kick for that, or you can't possibly be giving. I mean, we'll go back to that Tom Hawkins suspension. Everyone was outraged that Tom got given a suspension for hitting Phil Davis, and how can you be doing this?
That's such a soft punch.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, because of what happened with Gaff and Brayshaw, that all of a sudden we're swinging 180 degrees violently. Yeah.
Mm. Violently.
I think each case just has to be judged individually.
Well, that's what he said.
On its merits.
The Gaff situation is an outlier.
Of course it is. Nobody wants to see that in the game.
Absolutely not.
Nobody wants to see that in the game. But I think each case has got to be judged on merit.
Yep.
I think it'll calm down. But the players, it's good that the players will be on edge for a couple of weeks.
Everybody knows the circumstances of what you do to the other person. In this case, in Andrew Gaff's situation, broken jaw, misplaced teeth, all that type of stuff. That's going to be a huge suspension. But if you hit a guy in the arm... That's not a suspension, is it?
Well, David King made a good point last night on 360 saying, would you be comfortable with someone losing a Brownlow for a hit on the arm or missing a grand final for a hit on the arm?
Like, if that punch, and this is just me, if that punch doesn't hit Brayshaw in the jaw, hits him in the arm. We're not even having this conversation. No,
and this is the discussion we had earlier in the week about the Zach Jones one on Zach Merritt. Mm. Now, it looked like Zach Jones was trying to hit Zach Merritt in the head.
Yep.
And he missed him and got him in the neck. He got a reprimand. We ordered someone to move on.
Mm. Well, even Daniel Howe and Paddy Cripps, there was no outrage about that.
No.
He was intentionally hitting him in the head.
And this is the whole thing about action versus outcome.
Yes, he did.
If Howe had broken Cripps' jaw, there would have been outrage. But because it was not much in it, damage-wise, everyone just sort of moves on. Oh, well, he got 2 weeks for it. But the action was similar.
Similar.
We don't want to see nobody hurt in our game. But unfortunately, at times it happens. It's a contact sport. It's a physical sport.
And it's an instinctive sport.
That's right. It happens. And it's unfortunate that it does.
Interesting. 11-8, Scotty Gallen's with us from the Herald Sun with all the latest news in footy. We were talking about the Blues in the draft before. You've got a bit of an inkling that perhaps there's a bit of a shift in thinking about who might be the number one pick at this stage for the Blues.
Yes.
So what are you saying?
More of that after the break.
More of that after the break with Scotty Gallen.
No doubt the first thing you think about is, you're going to play again this year. They're just making sure that there's no tendon damage. Like when the tendon gets involved, it probably tends to be a bit longer. But right now, it doesn't seem to be the case. So we're probably mindful of his history. Normal little calf like that's probably a couple of weeks. But with Brett, with his history, you probably had another week or so. He's probably, first week of finals, all going well.
Brett Deledio was the subject matter there for Leon Cameron, the coach of the GWS Giants. Disaster for our man Lids with another calf injury.
We've been on the journey with him, and you can sense the pain in his voice, then the excitement when he's close again. He just can't get a run at it. Hold out hope for finals, but you got to be worried, can he see out a game? That's the thing they've got to weigh up when they're in the first week of the finals.
It's a huge question mark over his capability of seeing out the finals campaign or getting through a match. If you're the Giants, you can't go in with any shred of doubt that he will survive.
Because they're
going
to be carrying
it. It's a bit like Darcy Moore at Collingwood.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, coming back from another hammy. But the Giants are going to have a few of these discussions because Toby Green's not looking good again, so he might be back finals. Mm. Big Dawson's gone. They're going to get Dylan Shield back and a couple others. But they're, unfortunately, just as we're all getting a little bit of momentum and love for them and Collingwood have fallen off the tracks.
You have to pick him. If you're GWS in a final...
I don't know about that.
Who would you pick first out of Griffin and Deledio? Because they've both had these injury concerns.
Find someone else. You've got to get someone who's
both Griffin and Deledio out.
If there's question marks over him, absolutely.
If they hadn't played the week before...
I'm playing them both.
No way.
Yes way.
Okay, so
it's interesting discussion at the match committee, this one.
Yeah. Who is the most important player they've lost through this recent...
Toby Green. Dawson Simpson second.
Big Dawson. Number
I was going to ask about Dawson Simpson because clearly Toby Green is a better player.
Toby Green's X factor.
Yeah.
X factor, finals X factor is what you need.
But for structures, Dawson Simpson, when he was going well for a month, improved them out of sight.
Well, that's my point. I think he's made a huge impact on their improvement.
Go and look at Stevie J and Paul Chapman's final record. That's Toby Green. Mm.
And we saw Toby Green when he kicked that clutch goal against Richmond, and there's a couple of other games where he really stood up in the big moments.
Toby Green.
I don't think they necessarily got that in their forward line. Maybe Jeremy Cameron.
There's not many Toby Greens floating around. He's a ripper, and he will be a loss. But... Oh, I reckon that mesh committee meeting when those players are coming back.
It would be fascinating.
I'd like to be in that room because that would be a good discussion.
But they play so much better football when Deledio's there.
Yeah, but he has to be operating on full cylinders for four quarters.
Well, you've got to have that faith.
If it's me, they've got so many injuries anyway. I'm taking the risk.
You're a courageous man, which is why we love you here, Rama. What about just... The question before the break about the Blues and perhaps who they were angling at in the national draft with that number one pick. Has there been a change of heart, Scotty?
Well, Lukosius 3 or 4 months ago was all the rage from South Australia, the versatile forward type, Rammer. He's a tallish.
Yep.
But this Sam Walsh, I go back to what Patrick Dangerfield said. The kid trained at Geelong in the summer for a week or 2 weeks and Danger came away and will tell anyone who wants to listen that he is an absolute superstar, person, player, tick, 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 and you'd be mad not to take him.
Vic Country didn't win a game at the Under-18 Championships this year, and Sam Walsh still won the Lark Medal as the best player of the carnival. Averaged 33-plus possessions, I think, and has continued that form now back at the Geelong Falcons in the TAC Cup. So, look, I think the top 10, top 15 of this draft is pretty good. It's so, pretty good.
There's and they need midfielders.
There's a couple that separate, no doubt, but you know the wild card in all this is Isaac Rankin.
Well, he lifted at the Nationals, which put himself up a couple of slots.
You talk about Toby Green and X Factor. This guy has got so much of that.
So, tell me more about... I haven't seen this kid play, I must admit, but I've seen Sam Walsh play, and I love him.
Yeah, so do I.
And I was speaking to one of the academy coaches, the AIS academy coaches, or whatever it's called these days, and they said, this is a guy that you take to your club, and he will drag everyone with him as an 18-year-old.
250 games... Guaranteed.
He's the Joel Selwood
guaranteed.
Style.
Yeah, so for Carlton, it's a layup. Don't get funky. Take the kid, the local kid who's a gun and a midfielder. Tick, tick, tick. Do it.
So back to your man, Rankin. One of the criticisms of clubs in recent years has been taking that sort of flighty X-factor player in the top 10
as opposed to
the rock-solid staples. Can you trust him to be a consistent performer? Or is he going to be one of those players that comes in and out?
No, I think once he gets into an AFL environment, into that club, and has his mentors and older guys there really looking after him, he did some really special things in the Under-18 Championships through traffic, which others simply could not do.
But is he the flour or the icing sugar?
I like icing sugar.
Yeah, I love icing sugar. I like smelling flowers too, sort of.
What does smelling flowers? Cooking flour.
What?
Cooking.
F-L-O-U-R.
Oh, sorry.
When we're making a cake, right?
He is.
I don't think you're putting pansies in a cake.
Yes, you are.
You might, some might cakes be the you garnish are. On top.
F-L-O-U-R.
Michael Felgay puts flowers on some of his cakes.
We need it. We'll just move on because that was really, really poor. Marie's in Berwick.
Good analogy.
1-300-652-927. Sorry, Marie. Over to you.
That's okay, guys. You know what? It'd be really nice if you had like a 15-minute stint in the morning where people could actually call, like the old days. I love you guys. I've followed you over from that other station. Daniel, because you're fantastic here, don't mention the war. Anyway, what I'm ringing about is the striking. To me, it doesn't sound great when Chris O says striking $1,500 fine. But anyway, I was at a game earlier this year and I watched the guy with the mullet, number 24 for Hawthorn. I've forgotten his name. It's Stratton.
Ben Stratton. He's coming on after 8 o'clock, Murray.
Yep. Stand behind a Collingwood player the whole game. And if I were playing on him, I mean, I would never let him stand behind me. Kidney punched him the entire game. So the goal umpire's got a great view of it. Just little punches in the kidney. Bang, 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 bang. So I thought, I'll have a look at this bloke. I've watched him on TV. Did exactly the same to Bontempelli. Now, it's just lucky those guys aren't hotheads and showed restraint. Because if it were done to me, I would feel like just turning around and giving him a haymaker. So I think in a game, at least the umpires should just go up and say, mate, cut it out, okay?
Yep.
And another point, I think you need a send-off rule because I do think, and you're going to disagree with that being in the boys' club, but the clubs do go out to target players. Going back to 1990, Gavin Brown, best on the ground in the final, the second semi, you know, gets targeted grand final. A couple of years ago, Goldstein and the captain of, I'm trying to think who it was, North, targeted by that same club again. Funny about that. This year, Cripps targeted by Howe. So teams do go out and target the opposition's best player. So I think if it's severe, like on the weekend, send off. But at least the umpires have got to say to these guys that are punching all through a game, just cut it out.
Perhaps they could communicate a bit better, Maria. There might be something in that from the umpire fraternity, the goal umpires, boundary umpires, and they come together at quarter time of the breaks or whatever they might be.
They got walkie-talkie type setup.
Oh, they do. You're right. You're right. Maybe there is that opportunity.
I think free kick for punching. I wouldn't have an issue with that.
No, absolutely. There's enough umpires out there to see if he's kidney punching him repeatedly.
Whitey wants all the umpires in each zone. They should be able to pick that up.
They might as well have six of them out there.
Yeah,
on punch alert.
Yeah, that would.
I don't think we need six.
If Ben Stratton is playing on Jordan Dugowie and he's punching Jordan Dugowie in the kidney inside forward 50, and a free kick's given inside
he'll stop doing that. I'm going to ask Ben Stratton about his tactics after 8 o'clock when we get him on for Marie and for the listeners out there who are interested in that element of his play. I think it's an interesting point. We'll ask him about that, Scotty. Before we let you go, TV ratings are up.
Yes. They're very happy.
Footy's good again, is it?
Surprisingly, when the good games happen and we get Carlton off Friday nights a little break, although this week it's another setback, but it has spiked. So it basically tells the league, don't stuff up the draw like you did this year. It's just that simple.
They've got the draw right at the end of the season. The game's been brilliant.
Yeah, exactly, but the rest of it's been...
Yeah, but it's very hard.
It's not hard to say Carlton are going to be rubbish. No, but it's St Kilda. You can't put the Friday night draw like they did, Adam. I'm sorry.
But is that part of the problem where... Because we always start the season strong with good games, and then we've ended the season strong with good games, that there was always going to be a lull in the fixture at some point.
Both the timing of the game.
Good teams on a Friday night.
After the news, could we get Curtis Stone on or Shannon Perry to talk about how you can cook with flowers?
Zucchini flowers.
O-W-E-R. No, we're not doing that ever again. I don't know how that happens. Scotty, great to see you as always.
It's a pleasure.
We'll get to the news. Johnny Bowden about to join you after that. We'll touch base with the tab, then Ben Stratton.